Without further ado, we will start with our first presenter. This is Stacey Martin. She is an epidemiologist and pertussis subject matter expert in the meningitis and vaccine preventable disease branch at CDC. Her current work focuses on pertussis, meningococcal disease, and other vaccine preventable bacterial diseases, both domestically and internationally. Stacey?
Yes, hi. Thank you for listening in today. I'm going to be providing an update on pertussis epidemiology and the impact of pertussis vaccination in the U.S. First, I'm going to provide some background and then give a general overview of our national surveillance data for pertussis. Pertussis is a highly contagious respiratory disease with secondary attack rates as high as 80% in susceptible individuals. It can cause severe debilitating disease in persons of all ages, but can be less severe with the typical whoop absent in children, adolescents and adults who have been previously vaccinated. Infants are at the greatest risk of disease and death, especially during the first few months of life when they are too young to be protected by vaccination. It is estimated that worldwide, pertussis causes over 300,000 deaths per year. Pertussis is a vaccine-preventable disease, but it is poorly controlled despite excellent coverage with the childhood series. To address concerns over waning immunity, the first U.S. pertussis vaccines for adolescents and adults, Tdap, was licensed in 2005. Pertussis is a nationally notifiable disease. The clinical case definition consists of cough greater or equal to 2 weeks, plus one of the following pertussis symptoms, paroxysms, whoop, or post-tussive vomiting. A confirmed case is one that is culture positive with acute cough illness of any duration, or a case that meets the clinical case definition and is positive by PCR or is epidemiologically linked directly to a confirmed case. Pertussis has been increasing since the late 1970s, with the greatest increase seen during the last decade. In 2005, we experienced a peak in disease with over 25,000 cases reported. In 2010, we exceeded the 2005 peak with over 27,000 cases. As this graph shows, there's been a dramatic shift in the diagnostic test used to identify PCR, shown in purple, now being the predominant test used. Much of the serology represented on this graph, which is represented in blue, is reported by the state of Massachusetts, which is the only state using a validated kit. But we are aware of other states that have been increasingly reporting serologic positives to CDC. Starting in the late 1940s, the U.S. began vaccinating with whole cell pertussis vaccines. In 1992, a safer version called a cellular vaccine became available in the U.S. to replace the whole cell vaccine. The acellular vaccine is a purified version of the whole cell vaccine that has fewer components of the inactivated bacteria. In 1992, acellular vaccines were recommended for the fourth and fifth doses given at 15 to 18 months and 4 to 6 years, respectively. In 1997, DTAP was recommended for all five doses, including the priming doses given at 2, 4, and 6 months. And as I previously mentioned, in 2005, two tetanus toxoid, reduced diphtheria toxoid, and acellular pertussis vaccines were licensed in the U.S. for 11 through 64-year-olds. Here you can see the dramatic decline in reported cases following the introduction of whole cell vaccines and the gradual increase in disease since the nadir in 1976. You can also see the cyclical nature of pertussis with peaks in disease occurring every 3 to 5 years. Coverage from the National Immunization Survey shows good DTAP coverage in 19 through 35-month-olds with little variability since 2004. Coverage for three or more doses is approximately 95%. Looking at reported pertussis by age group, we see that infants continue to have the highest incidence of disease. In the mid-2000s, we saw a shift in the epidemiology where now 7 to 10-year-olds have the second highest incidence of disease. We will discuss this new phenomenon in greater detail in a few slides. In 2010, California made news by declaring an epidemic of pertussis. They experienced the greatest number of cases in over 60 years, with over 9,000 cases reported. Surprisingly, Minnesota and Iowa reported higher incidence in 2010, but California's large population resulted in a significantly greater number of cases. This slide emphasizes that there is significant geographic variability in the incidence of disease. Some of this is driven by differences in case recognition and reporting, but we know that there is real variability in when states experience peaks. These preliminary incidence numbers from 2011 by state again demonstrate that states do not peak at the same time. In 2011, states in the Northeast and the Pacific Northwest started to see increasing numbers of cases. Now let's look at TDAP implementation and its impact. As I mentioned previously, TDAP was recommended in 2005 for adolescents and adults. TDAP was licensed based on bridging studies to the childhood vaccines. TDAP effectiveness has been demonstrated in several studies, and field effectiveness is estimated at roughly 70%. Coverage with TDAP has been slowly increasing since its introduction and now is approximately 68% in adolescents, but coverage in adults remains very low at around 8%. Following the introduction of DTaP, we experienced a decline in the incidence, only to be followed by a larger peak in 2010. But does this mean the program hasn't been successful? To answer this, we need to look more closely at the data. This graph is a little complicated, so I'm going to walk you through it. We calculated rate ratios by dividing the incidence of pertussis among adolescents 11 to 18 years of age by the incidence of disease in all other age groups combined. We then modeled the rate ratios using segmented linear regression analysis, which allowed for us to evaluate the impact of TDAP vaccination over time while accounting for temporal variability. For our model, we defined the 1990 through 2004 period as the pre-TDAP period and 2005 to 2009 as the post-TDAP period. We observed a steady increase in rate ratios during the pre-TDAP period and then a reversal in the direction of the slope to a significant decreasing trend post-TDAP. So this tells us that the rate of disease among 11 to 18-year-olds in the pre-TDAP period was increasing at a faster rate than disease in all other ages combined. In the post-TDAP period, rates of disease among adolescents declined at a faster rate than all the other age groups. This suggests TDAP is having a direct impact in the adolescent age group. When we looked to see if TDAP was having any indirect effects in infants, we didn't find any. Mean incidence did not change significantly between the two periods. We believe adult coverage rates are likely still too low to see this impact. Now let's examine this recent trend of emerging disease in 7 to 10-year-olds. I showed you this slide earlier, but I would like you to again notice the shift in the last 5 years towards increasing incidence in pre-adolescents. Note the orange line for 7 to 10-year-olds. This trend is easily seen when you graph the proportion of all pertussis cases contributed by children aged 7 to 10. Beginning in 2007, you can see a dramatic shift upwards. This slide depicts the number of cases by age between 2000 and 2005 by year. What I want you to note are the 7-year-olds in 2005, which are noted in yellow. This is the first birth cohort to have received acellular vaccines for their entire childhood series. Now watch what happens as we move forward in time. You can see a stair-step increase each year for this birth cohort, and then a drop at age 11 that coincides with the timing of the adolescent booster dose. Each additional birth cohort experienced a similar upward trend, resulting in an increasing number of cases in the 7 to 10-year-old age group. This disconcerting trend prompted us to evaluate the effectiveness and duration of protection afforded by acellular pertussis vaccines. California's 2010 epidemic offered an opportunity to conduct a large-scale vaccine effectiveness study. In collaboration with the California Department of Public Health, we enrolled cases and controls 4 to 10 years of age at illness onset or enrollment from 15 counties in California. Unmatched controls at a ratio of 3 to 1 were obtained from case patient providers. Vaccine histories were collected by in-person visit to provider offices, and logistic regression was used to estimate odds ratios while accounting for clustering by county and provider. Effectiveness was calculated as 1 minus the odds ratio. When we looked at vaccination characteristics, 7.8% of cases and 0.9% of controls were unvaccinated, and both cases and controls were more likely to receive their fifth dose at age 4. Overall vaccine effectiveness was estimated at 88.7, but we found that VE did wane over time. Vaccine effectiveness was 98% during the first year following the fifth dose. Each year out resulted in a modest decrease in vaccine effectiveness, and by 5 or more years from the fifth dose, VE had fallen to 71%. Although not noted on the slide, unvaccinated children had 8.9 times the odds of becoming a pertussis case as children who had received all 5 doses of DTaP. So what have we learned? We learned that the Tdap program has reduced the burden of pertussis in adolescents, but we have no evidence of herd immunity. DTaP offers excellent initial vaccine effectiveness, but is followed by modest waning of immunity each year. The pertussis burden in children aged less than 10 years appears to be a cohort effect from a change to acellular vaccines, leading to a problem of susceptibility despite vaccination. To address these new challenges, CDC is working to improve diagnostic testing to improve surveillance and our ability to detect changes in epidemiology. We've added enhanced pertussis surveillance sites, which provide enhanced case ascertainment and improved data quality, as well as provide a platform for new studies. We are implementing case control studies to assess the impact of cocooning and maternal vaccination, and we are implementing several studies to assess the duration of protection from Tdap vaccination. We are assessing temporal trends in susceptibility and infection through serosurveys and mathematical modeling. All of our efforts are intended to increase the evidence base for new vaccines or vaccination strategies. Pertussis continues to be a significant public health problem, and we need to continue to remove the barriers to vaccine uptake and continue to evaluate and refine policy. Before I conclude, I would like to point out that our CDC pertussis website has been updated and contains a lot of great information. The website address is www.cdc.gov/pertussis. In addition to the pertussis site, you can find great provider resources for discussing vaccine issues with parents at www.cdc.gov/vaccines/conversations. Thank you very much.